Hungry Howie's knows there's nothing better than pepperoni pizza, but the question is, which pepperoni reigns supreme? Now, you got the crispy, classic cupped pepperoni, you know, the satellite dishes, big fan. But why choose one when you get both? They got a pepperoni duo coming up. See, this is more up my alley right here. Pepperoni duo, you're getting the classic cup pepperoni, plus the original, plus 100% real cheese, unlike a lot of these other places around town. Get a large pepperoni duo, $9.99, only at Hungry Howie's. You realize we spend a third of our life sleeping? I know, stuck in traffic was a good guess too, but now that you know you sleep so much, why aren't you sleeping on the most comfortable mattress arguably made in America? A brand new iComfort Eco by Serta. It's supportive and designed to keep you cool, comfortable, and feeling restored. Or check out Serta's Perfect Sleeper for pressure-relieving comfort and support while maintaining a balanced temperature. Serta mattresses made right here in Michigan, and they have been for over 110 years. Go to Serta.com. Find a retailer near you. That's Serta.com.
Cash the Ticket, a Mike Valenti podcast.
All right, welcome in. As we are winding down this year's Cash the Ticket, you will get this episode. And then we will be back the week of the big game that I'm not allowed to say, but it rhymes with Uperdolt. You figure that out. But we'll be back that week. And that's going to be obviously a huge preview of the game. We'll have some fun with prop bets. We'll have some fun with square percentage. We're going to do it all for the Super Bowl. We'll blow it out. This one this week, a little bit weird because we have two games. That's it. There's no college football. There's no Thursday night. There's nothing. We have two games. So we'll look at this past weekend, how we did, talk a little bit about it, get into championship weekend, certainly do a little more expansive a preview. But, yeah, it'll be a little more streamlined of a performance here. I'm not going to bullshit you. I don't know who can handle 45 minutes on two football games. I mean, you got to be a real geek. But hit the subscribe button. And as I said, I'm always aggravated. Pass this puppy on because the goal is we want to bring this back next year. I want to do special installments of it. I want to build this into something more. And I don't want to get into all of that because then it gets into clearances. And but please, then that's just me fighting the company. Let me worry about that. Just share it, subscribe, rate, review. You guys have been amazing. It's really appreciated. So with that, let's just dive in. Sol, divisional round weekend plus college football championship game. Let's do the review. You want to go first, me second, or vice versa? What do you want to do here?
Yeah, I'll just read them off here for you. You were 4-1 with, that's all the NFL picks, because you talked one thing on last week's episode about live betting the national title game.
Yeah.
So I had you 4-1. That's with all the NFL games.
Mike, do me a favor. I'll be magnanimous. Count me as a loser. Count me as a loser on the national title game. I had Clemson. I had a nice number. Doesn't matter. I lost. So 4-2.
4-2.
But yeah, 4-1 in the NFL where I felt really good about it. I mean, shit. You know, you go out, you sledgehammer to games. No, I didn't see Tennessee doing what they did, but I got everything else right. I got the total right as well in the
Packers
Seattle Green Bay game, and I gave you winners of the other game. So yeah, if you can pull a 4-1 in the NFL, I don't know how anyone would complain. National title game, straight up, LSU is the best damn team I've ever seen. It's the best offense I've ever seen with the best quarterback season I have ever seen. Now, what does the 4-2 do for the yearly record here?
Yeah, so you were 69-69-3. Okay, so that would take you to now 73-71-3. So you're back to over 500.
You can't beat these bastards. You can't. It just doesn't matter. And like I said, if you followed the show all year, I've hit a number of money lines. So that'll make it a little juicier where you don't get hurt. But yeah, I mean, it's what an uphill battle. I mean, it is just a fight. Yeah, 4 or 5 good weeks. One bad week undoes the whole damn thing. All right, but at least I'm in the black again. Feel decent about it. Where were you on the divisional weekend?
I was 4-1 as well. So I was 3-1 in the NFL games, lost Minnesota, but I won the Titans, Chiefs, Packers, and then also won LSU. So that would be 4-1, which moved me to 79-64-2.
Yeah, no, you've had a great year. And it's listen, the problem for you is you have a great year. Now how do you stack it? That's the tough part. The long run, the boat takes on water. You did a great job on the LSU game. You were ardent in your support of them from the time it came out. Imagine if you had got that game when it hit the board at 3.5.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you didn't even need to take a bloated number if you felt that strong. The pick on Tennessee, spot on. You were never a loser. That was a primo job by you. Look, I said it. I am never comfortable taking big favorites. Certainly not in the NFL. But last weekend, it's how I felt. I didn't do it to be like, you know, public putts. It's just, look, man, the cream rises to the top. The wild card is like the fantasy weekend. Divisional round, the bill collector comes, and the Bills do. I love the favorites. And three of them felt pretty damn good to me. I mean, did you think at any point in time Frisco was a loser? I didn't.
Nope.
Outside of Weatherspoon falling down and Diggs catching that ball, Vikings didn't do a goddamn thing, so that was out. You know, look, the Chiefs, yeah, it looked like a loser early, but I'll tell you this. I was watching a game with somebody, and I said, let him get to the half 24-10. I'll live bet him to win the game.
Mm.
Beyond laying the 9.5 I already laid. And they did better than that, Mike. I never got the opportunity to put in that bet. They scored 3 touchdowns in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers couldn't even update fast enough.
Right.
So I can't say that never was a loser. Excuse me. That's not fair. But that was incredible. When you watched it, it was a matter of could Kansas City wake up? Because Houston wasn't going to keep getting lucky with a block punt or a muffed punt or a blown coverage. So that was good. You know, look, the Titans, it's probably the best pick of the week on your part because ultimately that was the definition of never a loser.
Yep.
Ever. Never trailed.
And I didn't expect that. I expect them to cover the number.
You didn't do what I've always asked you to do, did you?
The money line thing. No.
You did, Mike.
I really didn't think Tennessee would win. They would cover for sure.
Mike, imagine that you were standing at your stove, and you are making a beautiful sauce.
Yeah.
Okay. Any type of sauce you can imagine, and you just imagine reaching into your little dish and grabbing a pinch of salt and just sprinkling that sauce with a little bit of seasoning, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need you to do when you bet these
you're
big underdogs.
And I wish I would have.
Make your bet and just take a little bit of seasoning and sprinkle that on the money line for yourself. I mean, listen, you're not going to get rich and you're not going to go broke, but when you got a big opinion and that dog barks and it hits, you're probably getting paid 2-1 on your money, 2.5-1 on your money. And you know what that does? That makes up for a lot of the vig on the losses.
Yep.
But it was a hell of a pick by you.
To what Vrabel's done. It's incredible.
So I go 4-2, you go 4-1. People have no complaints. I think everybody walks away happy.
Yep.
Now, championship weekend. And this one, I'm excited for the games, but man, am I conflicted. You want to start NFC?
Sure.
All right. So the Packers, hell of a year, 13-3. They didn't look great at all times, had some shaky moments. One of those moments is when San Francisco went at them. I think that was week 12. At one point, they were up 30-8. They dominated the line of scrimmage, and that's kind of where I start. Look, that's the one constant in games like this, and I think you saw it with Frisco, Mike, where D Ford being back changed that pass rush. The line being healthy. The way that they dominated the line of scrimmage against the Vikings reminded you of what they did to San Francisco 7-8 weeks ago.
Mm.
And that's where I start this game preview. Now, look, I understand the line is it is large. And, you know, you've got a majority of the bets are Frisco at 56%. It does account for 62% of the money, which you want. You want a positive money differential. It means bigger bets are there. And the bigger bets are normally the smarter bets. The number opened at 7. It's at 7.5. They are begging you to take the pack. Now, I think anybody can get on the air and just go, there's too many points. Take the underdog. But I got to tell you something. Mike, this Frisco team is for real. And when you look at that Minnesota game, when Kyle Shanahan dialed up 13 straight running plays and just pounded on Minnesota, they didn't have to do it. They chose to do it,
mm.
And they were able to do it. that is something. That's why this number is that big. You know, if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't throw the game away, and he made a horrible mistake against the Vikings, throwing that pick to Kendricks. But if Garoppolo is just above average, this San Francisco ground game, Mike, you don't negotiate with it. That ground game is like a terrorist. You can't negotiate with it. It's there. It's coming. And you're not going to be able to stop it.
Yep.
And it's so diverse. And they hit you inside. They hit you outside. They hit you with the counter. They hit you with reverses. They hit you with motion. They hit you with ball fakes. Mike, they hit you every which way. It's like a boxer, you know, who's equally good left and right. Body and head shots, hooks, uppercuts, jabs. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is just, it's an all-out assault. And that's why this number doesn't scare me. I might be insane laying 7.5. I didn't love the way the Pack played. The Pack did what they seemingly always do. Start fast, fizzle. Have you noticed all year long, they start great with LaFleur, and then when they get off the script or they get later in the game, there's seemingly no adjustment or no ability to restart the lawnmower. I worry that this is a game where Aaron Rodgers is going to be harassed. And their ground game is not going to be nearly as effective. Frisco has a legitimate home field advantage here. I think that ground game is the single superior unit, so to speak, or skill set in this game. And, Mike, I just feel like they came out against Minnesota sharp as a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And they took them out. I actually don't mind laying the number here. I want your opinion.
It's tough because I do feel the opposite with it. I think that it's, I think that San Francisco has been so good, and I get that. And it almost looks too easy where San Francisco, based on pretty much every metric you look at, even just look at their roster, the Niners are a better team. But when I'm getting 7.5 points, when it's Aaron Rodgers, when there is that pressure for him to, I think, go to the Super Bowl. And let's be honest, this is not a conspiracy theory. It kind of is, but I think that the refs are going to favor the Packers as well. That's kind of been the joke of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Green Bay can definitely stay within 7.5 points. I could easily see a 27-24 game,
yep,
flip the score around, Packers win, Niners win, whoever it is. My point is, I think that it could be that close game that's going to stay within 7.5 down the stretch, and it's more of just trusting Rodgers and LaFleur, who's obviously extremely familiar with Shanahan. I do hate going against Mike LaFleur because he was the man who recruited me, who's the pass game coordinator for the Niners.
Siren.
Might be, you know, some rumors about him. Brown's job he was rumored for, Georgia OC jobs. We'll see what happens with him. But I think that, I do think the Packers stay within it.
Big powers at it again, leaving people in the dark. How many of you are messing around with flashlights and candles like idiots during power outages? Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Go solar. Power Home Solar makes it easy to switch to solar by hooking you up with battery storage with your installation, so there's no more searching for a flashlight when Big Power leaves you in the dark. And make no mistake, Big Power Company, they don't give a damn about you. It'll leave you in the dark for 4 days. You think they care? Number one residential solar provider is Power Home Solar. 30-year warranty on the American-made panels that they install. You will own your power, not just rent it from the power company. So get it done. They've installed panels at Ford Field and Allen Park. They're the official sponsor of the Lions. If solar's right for you, you think it might be right for you, go to powerhome.com. That's powerhome.com or give them a call today, 1-800-SOLAR-15. That's 1-800-SOLAR-15. Schedule your free solar consultation today. Don't rent your power. Own it with help from Power Home Solar. Frisco, the last 3-4 games, has been dominant on the ground, only averaging about 77 yards given up. Listen, this is right here where I think the game is won and lost. It's Green Bay's rush defense. I mean, understand, they are the definition of average to me. They are nothing special. I think unless Green Bay comes up with something here, I mean, you are talking about a San Francisco offense. They're going to try to run it 32, 33, 35 times a game. They led the league in rushing attempts per game or were second. You know, they're always out there grabbing, you know, 150, 160, 170 rushing yards. Why is this important? It's very, very simple to me. because they're going to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. That's the issue to me. I feel like right now, you keep them off the field and you turn your D-line loose. You keep your line fresh. You're able to really cut it loose. Look, right now, the Packers are only averaging about 200 yards passing on the road. Mm-hmm. That's it, Mike. That's nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. And the Niners, I mean, look, they shut Cousins down last week to the tune of a buck 26. I think the Niners have the advantage here that they are going to get after Rodgers. They're going to put him in third and long, put him in known passing downs. And that secondary and that scheme, Saleh is doing a hell of a job. I just think Frisco has got a lot of advantage here. I get it. The number's big. I get it. This is probably a very bad idea. I think Frisco is the superior football team in every way, shape, and form. And I'll tell you this. I don't trust Green Bay in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
They don't adjust, Mike. They just don't adjust. So it's one of those things where I'm like, all right, what exactly am I betting on? I'm basically flipping
Rogers.
The script. Yeah, there it is. So it's like last week, if you were betting Seattle, you were betting Wilson.
Yep.
You weren't betting the team. As good as their record is, when's the last time Green Bay impressed you where you went away and went, wow?
Certainly wasn't against the Lions week 17.
It wasn't last week for me either. They fell asleep at the wheel. They allowed Seattle to get back in the game. Their offense fizzled. I'm going to go Frisco. I'm going to be a Huckleberry. I'm going to lay the number. I'm going to lay the 7.5. I think San Francisco's going to the Super Bowl.
And it's going to come down to third downs, too. Rodgers has to convert on third downs. Other than if he doesn't, that's where you really can get the game out of hand from a point spread perspective.
All right, let's go to the second game, and it is one I think we are all really pumped up to watch. Tennessee, the Cinderella, they opened up at 7.5. It's down to 7. Majority of bets, majority of money is on Kansas City. Mike, you had the Titans last week. I want to give you first shot at this week. You are the official spokesperson. We alternated loving the Titans.
Yeah.
I loved them in the wild card. You loved them in the divisional round. Where are you now?
Yeah, it's tough because I just went with, a minute ago, the big underdog. Now I'm going to go with the bigger favorite. I think that this is a game where the Chiefs take care of business. I think that they're on another level. Titans have been great. It's a great story, but I think it ends this week. I think Mahomes is just playing next level football right now, and what they were able to do last game, coming back 24-0, it was insane. I think that Derrick Henry, you look at the numbers, he's been incredible. That's extremely well documented. His last 8 games, 203 carries, 1,300 rushing yards, 11 touchdowns. It's just been absolutely unreal. But as you pointed out last week when we did this, the Chiefs' defense has, in fact, been better. Terrible start last week, I know that. But they've been better. I think that they're going to be able to keep him in check somewhat. He's going to get his. I think that Mahomes, though, is the type of quarterback who, no matter where the game's at, he's going to find a way to put the ball in the end zone. I'm going to trust Rodgers in the NFC. I'm going to trust Mahomes in the AFC. And hey, potentially set up that legendary Packers-Chiefs Super Bowl.
I think what's interesting in this game is I in many ways, I trust the Titan offense more than the Green Bay Packers, as crazy as that sounds. But look, the numbers don't lie. Green Bay is different away from Lambeau. Tennessee's gone on the road. And here's the thing. The offense only put up 14 against New England, but New England, an elite defensive unit. Agree?
Yep.
Last week, they only had to throw 14 passes, but they still were able to get to 28 and choke the life out of the opponent. They could have scored more. They didn't. But they were able to do it by just running the football. This is one where now you are talking about everyone's going to have to perform. And I don't think that that's an impossibility by any way, shape, or form. What scares me, this is going to be Kansas City hosting its first AFC title game since Hank Stram was on the sidelines. I think last week, believe it or not, as goofy as that start was, it helped them. It showed them that they're unbreakable. It showed them that it doesn't matter what happens. We're good enough to win the game. We're good enough to rally back. And not only that, we are good enough to put you away. So now you get into, all right, can Tennessee keep the Chiefs under 30? And can Tennessee themselves get to 24 or 27? That's where I'm hung up in this
game. A 34-28 game type thing?
See, it's interesting you say that. You know, you start doing these projections in your head and you go, all right, I'm getting a touchdown. That's a lot of points. And Tennessee should be able to look. The Chiefs' defense has been number one since week 11 in the National Football League. That's how good the defense has been. Now, should the Chiefs be able to, they're not going to stop Derrick Henry, but I think they're going to slow him down. And when you look at Ryan Tannehill, is Ryan Tannehill going to be able to just, and not even match Mahomes, but get close to Mahomes? Mike, this is where I feel like we could be watching the Giants of 2007 and we just don't realize it. But when you look, like, when you really look at this, is Tennessee really good enough to go and do this? Are they really good enough to do this,
Mike? I don't think they are.
And that's the key. Now, look, when I look at this, the Titans are going to try to pound the rock. Now, is he going to go for a buck 80, a buck 95? No, but he's averaging 128. And the Chiefs are so up and down on the ground. It depends with Chris Jones and not, and what they've done lately and what they did earlier. But here's the key in all of this. And I'm super interested in this. What do the Chiefs do on the ground? See, the Chiefs scoring quick is fine. But when your opponent wants to hold the ball, and you're not concerned with holding it at all, you could get yourself into one of these, like Houston did the first time around with Kansas City, where they hold the ball for 42 minutes.
Yep.
And Mahomes only had it for 18. And guess what? It was a close game. I don't know. If the Chiefs don't get it going, and the Titan ground game, look, generally speaking, they were upper half of the league, just outside the top 10. If the Titans can play well against the ground, against the run, rather. I think it does set up for a cover. You know, you got to have the football at some point, but here's the problem. As you can tell, I'm super conflicted. Like, the other game, I feel really good about it.
Tough.
I'm not going to say no play here. I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, that's a pass for me. We're just talking through it. It's one of those things. This is one where Tannehill has only attempted 29 passes for 160 yards. In the playoffs so far, two games.
Yep.
The Chiefs' pass D has been sneaky good. So what I am going to bet on is they are able to get a couple of stops, that they are able to somehow force Tannehill a few times into a mistake. He hasn't been asked to do anything. That's why his passer rating is so good. And I'm assuming this Chiefs offense is going to have a day. I mean, you talk about the Titans. They are bottom six in yards a game allowed, passing yards a game allowed. They are bottom four in passes completed. They are, 23rd in opponent completion percentage. And they've allowed 25 opponent touchdown passes, which is below average. Mike, the Chiefs are top five in every passing offensive category. I'm going to trust Mahomes.
I know.
I'm going to trust that they're not going to stop Henry, but they're going to do just enough. I mean, literally, to cover seven against the Chiefs, or if you're Kansas City to cover, you only really need to force, what, four punts total?
Right.
And you only punt twice on your own? Do the math on that.
No,
I'm going to take the Chiefs, and it's seven flat. I don't love it, but I'm not buying Tannehill, 29 total passes, 14 points in the wild card round, 14 total passes in the divisional round. Chiefs D's been better than ever. Chiefs secondary's been better than ever. Pass rush has been better than ever. Extreme home field advantage.
Yep.
And the idea of three road games in 3 weeks for the Titans, it's too much for me. I think the Walrus is going to the Super Bowl. I'm gonna take the Chiefs. I'm going to lay to seven. God help me, I've picked two favorites. Oh, no, what have I done?
Well, I mean, come on, though. Are we going to trust, you talk about trusting Mahomes, which I agree with. Are we really going to trust Derrick Henry to rush for 200 yards and three touchdowns and just absolutely carry the Titans? I don't think that's going to happen. No. But I think Mahomes was also really good last game with not only through the air. He does, he's really, really good at Burrow's the same way. Making plays with his feet in key yardage situations, too. So I think that factors into it as well.
Yeah. And again, I understand the long-term numbers on the Chiefs running day. I can't do it. Like, it's just not, it's not relevant because of where we are now. And they've gotten healthy. And Derek Nandi has elevated his play. And look, I just think you're going to get a performance here. They know they should have gone to the Super Bowl last year. This is the moment that they do go to the Super Bowl.
Three more football games of the year.
I know.
Crazy.
I know, man.
Well, the Pro Bowl, I guess, four.
So we see if we can build on the momentum. What wild card weekend, what were we? Just so I can remember. It feels like forever ago.
We were, I just had it pulled up, actually. You only played, I think, two games. You won the Titans, lost the Saints. And then I was...
I pushed on the Bills.
I won Seattle under, and then I lost the Saints, lost the Pats. So I was 1-2. You were, I think, 2-1.
Yeah. So, and then I went 4-2. You went 4-1.
Yep.
And now we've arrived here with only two games. Let me just ask you this briefly, because I kind of like a total.
Okay.
And I don't do this often, but I like presenting Mike with totals. He's very good at it. He understands them and reads them a lot better than I do.
Which was, by the way, a national title game. Crazy. Hit the number exactly.
It's unbelievable. It first of all, it takes away your faith.
Well, but if you listen to this, Cash the Ticket, we locked in earlier.
Oh.
So we actually won.
All right. Over under, I'm going to tell you what I like, and you can mock this as an incredibly public selection and a dumb idea. What about over 46 Packers Niners?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Am I crazy in thinking the Niners can get to 30 by themselves?
No.
Because I kind of feel like it's a 31-20 kind of game. I feel like this is going to be very difficult for the Pack to stop the Niners. And look, I think the Packers aren't going to be helpless. I think it's going to be impossible to hold an Aaron Rodgers playoff team to less than 14 points. It's just, I don't know. I kind of dig it. I liked it that it's gone from 45 to 46. Am I crazy there going over 46?
I thought 27-24, which would be over as well. That'd be 51 points. I think the over would be the play as well.
All right. I mean,
the other one that's at 53 points with Titans and Chiefs.
With that.
That's a situation where you just have to either you believe the Chiefs are just going to put up a ton of points, or
are you
B,
gonna play
you think the,
over? The
Titans will hang.
Are you going to do the over?
Green Bay, I would. Titans, I wouldn't.
But are you going to do Green Bay Niners? Are we listing? Are we going to do?
Yeah,
a play?
I would do over on 46. Yeah.
All right. So here's my plays this week. Then I'm going to do Chiefs. I'll lay to 7. I'm going to do Niners, lay to 7.5. I know, guys. I'm sorry. I can't get sexy with it. But having the same mindset last week, I did go 4-1 in the NFL, so don't break my balls. I'll go over in the Niner game, over 46. Those will be the three plays. I'll follow up the 4-1 with an 0-3.
And I'm similar, except obviously I like Green Bay, plus 7.5, Kansas City minus 7, over 46 in Green Bay, San Fran.
All right, so give it a subscription. Like I said, we will be back the week of the big game or
prop bets, coin toss, Gatorade. All
Gatorade color. Yeah. I'll select blue. We'll be back for the week of the Super Bowl, and we'll put a bow on the year. Maybe best call, worst call, bus balls a little bit. We'll go back through the show notes, like my worst pick of the year, best pick of the year, Sully, same. And yeah, prop bets galore, some square percentages, and certainly a good 20, 30 minutes on the Super Bowl. And we'll talk to you then. So David Sexy Stat Time, and we're out.
It's time for another edition of Sexy Stat Time with the Hatchet Man. That's right. It is the conference title championship week in the NFL. Let's start over in the AFC. You have the Titans at Kansas City. Kansas City being the 7.5-point favorite in this game. And as you know, Derrick Henry has been on a roll. Starting with the regular season finale, a game Tennessee needed, he rushed for 180 or more yards in each of the last three games, including the playoffs. Here's what's interesting. This is a rematch from Week 10 in the NFL. And in that matchup, Derrick Henry rushed for 188 yards and a touchdown. Derrick Henry has averaged 7.3 yards on 55 rushes in his career against the Kansas City Chiefs. This includes the playoffs. He scored 5 touchdowns in 3 games against the Chiefs. He's rushed for 150 yards in each of his last two games against the Chiefs. But here's an interesting stat for the KC side. Andy Reid is just 1-8 all time against the Titans. But if you're a Chiefs fan, here's a positive note. Since the Titans defeated the Chiefs in Week 10, the KC defense has buckled down, allowing the fewest points per game over the final 7 weeks of the regular season. They were number 1 in points per game allowed, number 9 in total yards per game allowed, number 7 in yards per play, and 4th in defensive efficiency. So the defense has gotten better. This game should be good. Let's go over to the NFC side. The Packers at the 49ers. The 49ers are the 7.5-point favorite in this game. And guess what? It's another rematch. The Packers were 1-15 on third down in the first meeting with Aaron Rodgers in the game. The Packers were 0-13 on third down. The offense somehow improved upon that last week. So that's a positive note if you're a Packers fan. But here's a negative note. The Packers opened as a 7.5-point underdog. This is only the 4th time in Rodgers' career, in his 191 career starts, including the playoffs. He's lost all 3 of those games. 2018, he lost to the Rams. 2015, he lost at Arizona. And 2014, he lost in the NFC Championship game at Seattle. All these games on the road. The Packers didn't get a takeaway in the first meeting. It was the first of just 4 regular season games in which Pettine's defense failed to produce a turnover. Otherwise, the Packers were 12-0 when getting at least 1 takeaway this season. And since allowing 37 points in the loss to the Niners, the Packers have allowed just 15.7 points per game in their last 6 games this season. The 49ers allowed 31.8 points per game over their final 4 regular season games, but their defense has since bounced back strong last week as they gave up just 10 points to the Vikings in their 17-point victory. This has been another edition of Sexy Stat Time with The Hatchet Man.